Today we are in the middle of July, and here in Trabuco Canyon we are enjoying some beautiful summer weather. Now on this Sunday morning I want to proclaim a message which I believe is vital for the church today. The subject is God's will and human will. The basic scripture text to start with is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. So if you have your Bible, please get it out and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Now let's bow for prayer. Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayerful dependence just now. We need your help. We need your wisdom. We need your enablement both to proclaim this message and also to receive it. And so we are counting on your presence and your help with us this morning. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now, as we discuss God's will and human will, let me begin by reading the text, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. And without attempting to get into the context, I think that will be self-explanatory as I read this verse. Verse 11, in whom, that is Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. God's will and human will. Now the passion and the plea and the prayer in this message is that the evangelical church community will return to giving God the honor and the praise and the glory He deserves, and to stop boasting about our will, our choices, and our decisions. It is my conviction that one of the greatest needs in the church today is this very matter of submitting to God's will and giving Him the glory. Now, let's begin our consideration with point number one, which is the human will. The human will, point number one. The human will, of course, involves choices and decisions. It involves our mind, and these things lead to actions. The will determines actions. Now, in thinking of the will, we often say, oh, he or she is a strong-willed child. Some are strong and some are weak. It's probably accurate to say that all of us are strong-willed in some ways and weak-willed in other ways, but the fact is there is a human will, and that's part of what makes us a person. A person has a mind, emotion, and will. God is a person. He has mind, emotion, and will. The human will is a very important part of life. Behind the will is the motives, the reasons, the influences, and the causes. The will itself is not self-determining. It acts upon motives, reasons, influences and causes us. Something always causes our will to act. If a man walked up to me and stuck a gun in my face and said, "Give me your wallet," I'll do that. But it's not a free will, because I really don't want to, but I will because of the cause. I will because of the reason. And I have sufficient reason to give him my wallet. If I don't, the consequences are not good. So the will is not self-determining. It always has a cause. Now, we need to discuss the will and our human nature. And the first point there is the will is only free within the realm of our nature. Now, if you listening to the tape, you also have an outline. It'll be important for you to look at the outline so that you can not only hear, but you can read and see. The will is only free within the realm of our nature. And the Bible declares that from Adam on, we have a sin nature. A nature that is not bent toward God, but bent toward disobedience and sin. The will is not free. The will is very, very limited. There are so many things we cannot will to happen or to do. Just can't be. Unbelievers are only free within the sin nature. That's all they have. The unbelievers have no spiritual capacity. They only have a capacity within the natural realm. No spiritual capacity, no spiritual ability. Now, unbelievers can make many choices, many decisions. Like even at breakfast time, you could make a choice to have your eggs in so many different ways, poached and scrambled and over medium and sunny side up and whatnot. But that's within a natural realm. The unbeliever has no spiritual capacity, no spiritual ability. The unbeliever has no spiritual desire. The unbeliever has no faith toward God. In Ephesians 2, we read, "The unbelieving are dead in sin." Death. In a condition of spiritual death. Now, there is much to say about this, but this is sufficient to make a statement about the human will, the unbeliever, living in the realm of a sin nature with no spiritual capacity, dead in sin. Not free will, limited will. Now let's turn to the second point, which is God's will. We read here, God works all things according to the counsel of His will. Now, God's will is self-determining. God makes no decisions. God does nothing because of outside influence. His desires and will come from within himself. God's will is self-determining. We read in Isaiah, the question, chapter 40, with whom took he counsel? And who gave him understanding? No one. It all comes from within him. God always does what he wills. God always does what he wants. Now, we hear church leaders today saying, God can't do this until you let him. God wants to do something for you, but he can't until you let him. Now, I take that as a direct insult to the sovereignty of our God. God always does what he wills, what he wants. What God wants, he does. No one can stop that or thwart that or change that. We need to know that the most powerful force in the universes is God's will. God spoke creation into existence because he willed to do it. God's will is self-determining. God's will is self-controlled. No one can overrule or change God's will. In fact, who would want to? God's will rules all things. God rules over human will. In Proverbs, we learn that as a river turns its course, so the Lord turns the heart of the king. There is no power on this earth, no political power, no government, no politician, no military force greater than God's will. Now, here are two statements: human will, limited in the sin nature, and God's will, unlimited, free, and powerful. Now, our third point then is the consideration of salvation. Human will, locked into the sin nature, must be set free, must be overpowered in order to have a spiritual capacity. So let's think about that. Our salvation. The source of our salvation is God's will. The cause of our salvation is God's will. The provision for our salvation is God's will. The decision for our salvation is a response caused by God's will. When we by faith believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin, and the resurrection of Christ for the gift of eternal life, that is a response to God's grace already having taken place within us. When we say we receive or accept Christ, that does not come solely from self. It is a response. we have been influenced and enabled to say them. And that is absolutely necessary because in and of ourselves, we have no capacity, we have no faith, we have no desire. We have been given a spiritual nature, a new nature, and therefore we have salvation. Here in Ephesians 2, we read once again, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." All boasting must be gone. Here in the evangelical church community, we must stop boasting about our decision, our choice to receive Christ. It is from God and from God alone. Our will has now been given the capacity and desire to respond to God's call to salvation. We have been given faith to believe. We did not have that faith. The unbeliever does not have the capacity for faith in God. It had to be given. Now, recently I heard a television evangelist talking about himself and the life of a friend of his with whom he grew up, probably through high school. And at some point, this man who became an evangelist accepted Christ. The other person did not. And they both lived a different life. And after 30 years, the other man had just lived a natural, normal life of an unbeliever. But this evangelist said, "I am so glad I made the right decision." Now that is exactly the problem. That is boasting. If he made the decision and the other man did not, then he is smarter, or he is wiser, or he is better morally, or he is better spiritually. That is not true. If one person has faith and believes and accepts Christ, all glory and honor go to God because God caused that and we respond. So we have the human will, God's will, and our salvation. Now, at this point, we need to turn our attention to two biblical doctrines called imputation and impartation. There is a biblical doctrine of imputation. And imputation is sort of a bookkeeping term where certain assets are placed on our account and given our position. That is called imputed. Things are imputed. For instance, Adam's sin is put on us. Adam's sin is imputed to us on our account. Our sin was put on Christ, on his account. Christ's righteousness was put on us, imputed to us. That is our position. It is permanent and unchanging. Now, the biblical doctrine of imputation. Impartation. Impartation is that which is put within by God. For instance, this truth: the Holy Spirit is within us. He is not out here somewhere. He is within. The Holy Spirit is within, imparted to us. Faith is imparted to us. Faith is within. God has placed faith within us as His gift. Love for God is within. We now do truly love Him because His love has been put within us by Himself. So what is imputed and what is imparted is according to God's will, not man's will. Be thankful for God's wisdom and plan and purpose so that no one can boast. Now let me repeat the plea, the passion. And I simply want to say, to God be the glory. The psalmist wrote, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Let's return in our churches to giving God the glory and the honor He deserves. The recognition of His work, His will in our lives. Let's return to giving Him all thanks and praise forever. Human will, God's will, salvation. Salvation is by God's will, by His decision. And He enabled us to respond. To all of God's elect, grace and peace in giving God all the glory, thanks, and praise. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are, for the power of Your determination, for the power of Your will to subdue all things, for the power of Your will to bring us out of darkness into light, to take us from unbelief to faith, to forgiveness from sin, to eternal life with You forever. Lord, we know that's from You. We take no credit. We only fall before You in humility and rise in praise. Lord, may this truth capture the heart of Your people in these last days. For Jesus' sake. Amen.